You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
This one's tough to read. Unfortunately, America loves guns. We love guns to a point where that we see devastation on a daily basis. You don't blame a group. That is Chicago's, probably America's, number one corrupt politician, Mayor Daley, who, boy, I'll tell you what, it's tough to listen to these folks. Man, oh, man, welcome to Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters, every week here on the Armed American Radio Network. I'll tell you what, lots of good, fun stuff going on at Armed American Radio, and we're going to talk about quite a bit of it tonight. First of all, that comment about Daley, I got to get that off the screen. That just makes me sick. We've got some new cities to introduce. I'll tell you what, the syndicators are doing a bang-up job. We'll get the technical stuff out of the way. Our producer is Sean, doing a super job, as usual, week in and week out here on the Armed American Radio Network. And I would like to take this opportunity to welcome Troy, Alabama, to the Armed American Radio Network broadcast. You are on Armed American Radio. Your prescription for freedom has been filled. Valdosta, Georgia, right down the road from where I'm standing right now, joins three other free cities in Georgia: Griffin, Georgia, Carrollton, Georgia, and, of course, Atlanta, Georgia. Valdosta, welcome to the Armed American Radio Network. You are on the broadcast. Your prescription for freedom has been filled. And Little Rock, Arkansas, yeehaw, Little Rock, Arkansas, joins Mountain Home, Arkansas, in the great free state of Arkansas. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. Welcome to the broadcast to all of you. It's a pleasure to have you. It's a pleasure to be in your homes, your cars, your computers, wherever you may be picking me up this evening. Welcome to each and every one of you. And I can tell you this, Florida, hang on to your hats. We're coming to you. We're eking down there every single day. We're getting closer and closer and closer. Valdosta, getting real close to that border. But I think I can tell you confidently that we will soon be in Florida. It's about as far as I can go there. I don't want to get myself in any trouble. So, Florida, we hope to see you on the Armed American Radio Network here very, very soon. Also, Northern California, you should be coming to the Armed American Radio Network here to the broadcast very soon. We'll be welcoming you, hopefully. And another wonderful city up in the great state of Washington, another free city in Washington, will be joining Armed American Radio Network here in the very near future. So that's an awful lot of fun, picking them up like gangbusters and going like crazy here at the Armed American Radio Network. If you're interested in participating on this evening's broadcast, please reach out to me at 877-956-9566. That's 877-956-9566. Feel free to give us a call. We'll talk to you about anything. Please try to keep it on topic. I'll tease the guest here in just a couple of seconds. In addition to the phone numbers, you can pick me up in the studio here at mark@armedamericanradio.org. mark@armedamericanradio.org. And we'll be happy to read your emails live on the air to the entire nation, coast to coast, in every time zone in this country, including Alaska. Man, does that feel good to say. Folks, we're tweeting again. We're tweeting. We're picking it up. This time we had a little bit of technical difficulty. Actually, we didn't have technical difficulty. Your host had technical difficulties of the brain last week and couldn't figure out the Twitter. So I got the iPhone cranking, and the volume is down. But we're able to pick up the Twitters. You can tweet me at AARMark, twitter.com/AARMark. And it is working. We've tested it out with the production crew. So feel free to send us a tweet, and we'll also read you in that fashion, too. So join the broadcast. Oh, lots to talk about this week. You know, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there right now. Beginning next week, because you asked for it, the Armed American Radio Network will be going to a third hour. We will be going to 3 hours. And, man, I got to tell you, that is quite humbling. Back on April 26th, actually, Armed American Radio had its initial broadcast, and we have grown by leaps and bounds since then to encompass every time zone in this great free nation. And, oh, hold on a second. The production guy just walked by. Hold on. I'll be right back. There we go. I'm sorry. I had to bow like our president does to foreign royalty. Sorry about that. I learned that on TV the other day. Oh, boy, isn't that enough to make you want to toss those cookies you had for lunch today for an afternoon snack? The leader of the most powerful nation in the history of the world is bowing to kings and emperors in foreign lands. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about. We're growing by leaps and bounds here at Armed American Radio, and that's really, really fun. It's very humbling since that time period, that initial broadcast in April of 2009. In seven short months, we have blown up across the country. So thank you very much. We're bringing freedom to the airwaves each and every week. Our guest tonight, Mr. John Cottrell, a close friend of mine, is here in the studio with me this evening. Some of you may have read my column in Concealed Carry Magazine, sponsored by the United States Concealed Carry Association, Delta Media's publication, the flagship publication of the USCCA. And that column was titled, if I'm not mistaken, John, it was the No Rest at This Stop. And John Cottrell is here to tell us about a very nasty experience that he had a couple of years back at a South Carolina rest area. And boy, I'll tell you, if you're carrying a gun for personal defense or if you're sitting on the fence, this is going to help you maybe push you in that direction to pick up something to defend yourself with, because it can happen to anybody, anytime, anywhere. And it's happened to a number of people I know and probably people that you know as well. So John will be here momentarily to discuss that with us. Coming up in the second hour of Armed American Radio, Phil Van Cleve will be here. Philip Van Cleve, of course, is the head of the Virginia Citizens Defense League, and Phil will be joining me at the top of the second hour and riding it out for me for the full 60 minutes. Getting back to the 3 hours. You asked for it. You got it. 3 hours beginning next week. And we're going to go ahead and bring John Cottrell in right now. John, you're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm sitting here looking at you. Welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Hi, Mark. It's great to be with you this evening, and congratulations on how well you're growing in just 5 months. It's almost unbelievable to think so.
It really is. John, you and I have known each other a long, long time, and we go back as work colleagues for many, many years. I got to tell you, it's interesting to sit here and talk with you in the studio and look at you face to face. Most of the guests that I talk to are on the telephone. So if people hear me start to chuckle a little bit, it's because I do know John so well, and I apologize, but we're very close friends. John, we're going to come up to a break here in about 4 minutes, 3 minutes. So I'll take this opportunity right now to ask you to kind of set us up to what happened to you. And start us from the beginning. Give us the details, because it was a normal day for you, and you were doing what?
I was just at home. In fact, I was getting ready to go to bed and get some rest for the day. And I received a phone call that one of our operations up in the Carolinas had a few problems and needed to have me come up and see what I could do about finding some solutions. And just being the type of person I am, and since it was a 24-hour operation, I thought, well, I can't lay down and try to get rest now, because I know what's going on up there, and I need to get on up that way. So it being, nighttime, 10 o'clock-ish, somewhere in there, I thought, well, it's a 4-hour drive to Charlotte, and I'll just get in the car and go ahead and drive up there and see about thinking about some solutions between Atlanta and Charlotte. And so I got in my car and started heading up Interstate 85 towards Charlotte, North Carolina. And, when you're traveling like that, and when you got a lot of stuff on your mind, you're not cognizant of what's going on around you, really, which should be a very good lesson for anyone. But I had just gotten to the border of Georgia and South Carolina there at Lake Hartwell. And thought, well, I need to stretch my legs and take a break. So the South Carolina rest area was coming up on my right side, and I thought, well, I'll go in there and stretch my legs and, take a break and then head on with my journey towards Charlotte.
What time was this when you stopped at Lake Hartwell?
Oh, it would have been somewhere around the midnight hour.
About midnight. Yeah. I want to point out to the listener that in my column, I want to correct a mistake here. I believe I did it before on the broadcast, but I want to make it clear again. I usually drive to South Carolina out 20, coming from downtown Atlanta area.
Correct.
From where I'm at in northern, north of the suburbs, about 40 miles north of town, and I tend to want to stay away from Atlanta as best I can, unless I'm having to travel through the airport. But I had just taken a trip out to South Carolina prior to penning that column, and I ran out Route 20. And I made a mistake in the column and had a little another brain lapse there and actually said that you were on the Lake Hartwell on I-20, and a reader was kind enough to point that out to me. So I would like to let everybody know that, in fact, if you read that column, that you were, in fact, on 85. It was my mistake, and that correction needs to be said. I-20 is not the way you would go up to Charlotte. We're going to be taking a break here, John, in just a couple of seconds. When we come back from that break, I want to get into some particulars for you. That was a really good place to stop because you had just pulled into that rest area and we're about ready to get out of the car, and that's where we're going to go when we come back from the break. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're going to hear is something that you need to know, and if you're sitting on the fence, please don't turn the dial. For crying out loud, turn it up. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we will be right back.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Annie Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Feel free to reach out to us on the broadcast today at 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566. Mark at armedamericanradio.org. Email in the studio, mark at armedamericanradio.org. Or go ahead and tweet me, twitter.com/AARMark. We are getting some tweets in here, and we got some emails popping in. We'll see in a few minutes if we can get to a couple of those. We'll check them out here in just a second. We are live in the studio with Mr. John Cottrell. John Cottrell was the subject of my Ordinary Guy column in last month's issue, or publication, I should say, of Concealed Carry Magazine, No Rest at This Stop. And when we last left John, he was telling us that he had just pulled in to the Lake Hartwell rest area.
Correct.
That's right on the border of Georgia and South Carolina on 85 North heading into Charlotte. And he was just about ready to go in to use the facilities. John, take it from there.
And it was, pulling into that rest area was something I normally did on a trip up to Charlotte, so I really didn't think that much about it. And not, you know, that it was midnight or anything like that, but I pulled up, and I don't really remember any other cars being there. And I pulled up, got out, walked towards the front door area, and they had a sign to go around to the rear of the side of the building to use the restrooms there. And as I was walking to go around the building, I did notice a young lady at a payphone there in the corner, but I didn't think that much about it, didn't even really pay much attention, just kept walking. Went into the men's room and, of course, stepped up to the urinal, and I heard the door open. And when I was finished, I turned around, and facing me was a guy about, you know, 5'9", 5'10", and he had a revolver pointed in my direction.
Which probably looked like a very big revolver at that moment in time.
It looked like a bazooka. Scared me. Because, you know, you never think that this is going to happen to,
right,
to me, to yourself. And but what scared me even more was behind him was a taller guy. And in his hands, he had what looked to me to be a table leg that had been shaved down. And he had that in his hands like a club.
Now, this wasn't something that he would have picked up outside on the ground. This was something that he took with him. I mean, you could tell by looking at this.
He had manufactured this himself.
Okay, so
he spent some time on it.
Yeah. All right, so this is something he's more than likely used before.
Certainly,
all right,
I would think.
I want to stop you there for a second because I want to ask a couple pointed questions to you to try to get the visual. As you were walking back towards that door, and these two gentlemen, I say gentlemen, you as these two individuals were standing there, about how far were they from you when you, I'm assuming that you stopped dead in your tracks at that moment?
Oh, yeah, they were within at least, you know, 5 yards of me, somewhere in there.
Okay, so the guy with the revolver had the gun pointed at your face, at your body?
He had it pointed directly at me.
He had it pointed directly at you, and the guy with the table leg was standing where? Was he next to him,
behind him? He was right behind him, guarding the door. There was only one way in and one way out.
Okay, all right, you, go ahead from there. I just wanted to try to get that visual.
You know, I was so shocked that this was actually occurring to me. The fellow with the revolver, he said to me, he said, Mister, we're desperate, and we hope that you have money. Give me your wallet. So I quickly reached into my back pocket, and I pulled my wallet out, and I went to hand it to him. And he said, Mister, I don't want your wallet. I want what's in your wallet, and I hope you have cash. You better have cash. And, you know, I don't know why, but that day I had gone by the ATM and I got out a couple $100s. And I'm so glad to this day that I did that. I guess God was looking out for me. And I took the money out of my wallet and went to hand it to him. And he said, I don't want to touch you. Drop it on the floor. Well, I'm not paying a lot of attention to him because I'm looking at the big guy with the club behind him.
You know, that's interesting. And again, I want to interrupt you here for just a second.
Sure.
Because you have a gun pointed directly at you from feet away.
Right.
And you are focusing your attention on the guy with the club. Now, we've talked to some of the world's most foremost trainers on this broadcast over the past few months, and we will again. And this is something that I want to bring up to them on a future broadcast. I have my ideas why, and I think the listener has their ideas why, too. In fact, we've actually talked about various multiple attacker scenarios. We did it with Gabe Suarez a number of weeks back. We've done it with Masoud Ayoub, who will be on the broadcast next week. And I hate to put people on the spot, but I have done it before and asked them in a situation where your back is up against the wall. Why do you think you were focusing on the man with the stick and not the gun pointed directly at you in hindsight and reflection?
I just thought that he would be able to do more damage to me than the gun would.
Isn't that interesting?
And he just looked so psychotic. He did. The other fellow said that they were desperate. Well, he definitely looked desperate, the guy with the club.
Did he have that look of fear in his eyes?
It wasn't fear. It was a look of, I will do whatever it takes to get from you what we're looking for.
Okay, I want to interject another point here. From some multiple attacker training that I've taken in the past, I was asked, if face down with a gun, in fact, in the classroom scenario that we were posed with, it was, you have a 38 at you, you have a sawed-off shotgun or a pistol-grip shotgun pointed at you, and you have an individual with a knife pointed coming at you, all three of them. You are armed, your back is against the wall, you're going to have to draw. And it's interesting to listen to you who found yourself in this situation. As I was reflect back, I should say, on the training I took, and I was asked, who do you take out first, if given the opportunity? I immediately said the 38, or I'm sorry, I said the shotgun, the 38, and then the knife. And I was promptly corrected that the knife in that particular scenario that he described anyway was more dangerous because that person had to get up close and personal with you in order to do you damage, and that person with the knife was not only had to get up close and personal with you, but was willing to, which is why that person had the knife. And it was described to me in various contexts, and it made sense at the time. Now, I've since spoken to a number of trainers, expert trainers, who will give you different opinions, obviously. I hate to put somebody on the spot like that. But here you were in a real-life situation, more worried about that stick than the gun.
Was.
And I find that fascinating. And we will ask experts about that on future broadcasts. Okay, so go ahead with that. I'm sorry, but as things pop up, I want to interject that
certainly,
to the listener.
Certainly. You know, it was a situation where when I dropped the money down, I was keeping my eyes on them. I knew there was, you know, no other way for me to get out of there. I kept thinking over and over in my head, hopefully this is enough for them. And I kept thinking to myself, what am I going to do? I don't have any way to defend myself other than my hands. And I kept thinking, if they tell me to get down on my face, then I'm going to have to fight back. And I'm going to go towards the guy with the club first. And because he just had me that shook.
Yeah, that fascinates me. We're getting ready to take a break. And when we come back from that break, having left that off where we did, another great spot to leave that story off, we'll come back and we'll ask you to tell everybody what happened afterwards, because now you were thinking, hey, if I'm asked to get down on my knees or turn around, this is now a fight for my life. So based on that, we'll bring everybody back up to speed as to how everything unfolded. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walter. Stick around, and we will be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Annie Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Okay, we are back on the Armed American Radio Network. I had to get a drink of water. I failed to shut out that quote and X out that Internet Explorer screen with that quote from Mayor Daley. That is just unbelievable. I don't even want to capitalizing his name when I'm typing it. We're back on the Armed American Radio Network with John Cottrell. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Welcome back. 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566. Or mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. We do have some emails coming in. I am going to kind of put those off for right now. I want to thank everybody who's sending them in, but we're in the middle of a story with John, and I don't want to interrupt it for off-topic. We'll see if we can get to those in the second hour or possibly at the end of the fourth and final segment of this hour. Twitter me, twitter.com/AARMark, and we'll read you live again if you have a question for John, if you can keep it on topic. Thank you so much. And we're back with John Cottrell. John, where we left off with you when we went to the break, you had said that you were now making the mental preparation to fight for your life if they had asked you to get down on your knees, turn around, whatever the case may be. Continue, if you would, with what happened now that you're in the midst of this violent armed robbery.
Well, I guess it's what they say, you know, fight or flight starts picking up within you. And I knew that they now had the money, and I didn't know how this was going to end. So I was trying to make some preparations on, you know, how was I going to get out of this situation? The smaller guy with the revolver, he said, again, I guess one reason why maybe I didn't think he was as dangerous as the other guy, again, he said, you know, I'm sorry for this, but I'm desperate. He said, mister, he said, I want you to go back to the stalls, and I want you to go into a stall, and I don't want you to come out for at least 15 minutes. He said, because if you do, we're going to hurt you. And I backed my way. I complied. I backed my way. I did not turn my back, you know, onto them, but I backed my way back to the urinals or to the stalls and went into a stall. And, you know, I'm just burning up inside there. You know, the testosterone kicks in, you know, God, I'm a guy, you know, and I've allowed this to happen to me. How could this have happened to me?
Fascinating point. We'll get to that in a couple minutes because your adrenaline now is rushing.
Oh, yes.
This is a very common occurrence in a situation like this. We've discussed it on the broadcast many, many times. People find themselves in that situation. I did myself.
And I was mad at myself. I thought, great job. You've left your cell phone in the car.
Right.
You know, everybody thinks that the cell phone is going to be, you know, their ultimate savior in a crisis like this.
Yeah, dial 911, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you have an opportunity? Let's go there for a second because the anti-gunners love to do this. They love to talk about this, and we love to talk about them. Dial 911. We've all seen the bumper sticker, dial 911 and die. Did you have an opportunity to call John 911?
Not while I was inside with the gentleman. Absolutely
would you? Do you think they would have given you permission to reach for your
cell
phone?
I don't think so.
Do you think they would have done if they saw you reach in your pocket?
Probably would have fired and started beating me with the club.
So in other words, your cell phone was worthless.
Exactly.
And you found yourself unarmed.
Right.
Now you stayed in that stall for a number of minutes. And did you hear the door open? Did you hear them leave? What occurred next?
I didn't hear much of anything other than them leaving. And again, as I said, I was so shaken up, and fuming also inside, scared, mad at myself for putting myself in such a situation, all those emotions just flowing within me and, just thinking, I want to be away from this place. You know, I can't wait to get away from this place.
How long do you, and you probably, this is probably a question that I don't know if you can answer it. You know, maybe in hindsight, you look back and know what the clock said, but how long do you believe you stayed in there?
Oh, I don't know. It seemed like an eternity to me. And I just couldn't wait to get out of there. But, you know, I probably stayed at least 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay, so did anybody else come into the restroom during that time period?
You know, Mark, my mind was so zeroed out with emotion, I don't know if anyone came in after that or not.
It's another interesting point.
I just was zoned into this feeling of, number one, that I had put myself in a situation like this, and number two, I had had no way to protect myself.
Okay, now, let's stop there for a second. After 15 or 20 minutes or whatever you guesstimate that time to be, you depart that stall.
Quickly. And
very quickly. Now, it must have been incredibly frightening to open that door to the outside world. You probably felt very safe where you were at that point, knowing that they had probably left. And there was that question in your mind that, what if they're still here?
Exactly. I remember going to the door and gingerly opening it to look, you know, kind of like when you see on the police shows where they look around the corners or whatever. And I couldn't wait to get to what I felt like was the safety of my car.
Right.
Got in my car, pulled out of the rest stop, heading towards Charlotte. And I'll tell you, my mind, my emotions were just spinning so badly that I was past Clemson, well up towards heading towards Greenville before it even flashed into my mind. My God, you need to call the police.
Now, you did. And now, of course, we've talked about this, and I have the benefit of a little bit of knowledge that the listener doesn't. But this is interesting because it kind of harkens back to the dial 911 on your cell phone. Woo-hoo. It's like watching those Brinks home security commercials, those are a joke. The lady meets the guy breaks in the house, and the alarm goes off, and he runs away, and she runs up and calls, and all of a sudden she's safe. Yeah, okay, we got, yeah, all right. Yeah, we're not talking to Paul Helmke here, okay? Maybe he likes to believe that, but I would bet money that he has a gun in his house. They're all hypocrites. I get sidetracked. I apologize, John. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
So you do call the police. You call, and this is just utterly, well, it's not shocking. It's not shocking at all. What happened?
Well, to be honest, I can't remember if I dialed 911 or if I dialed the star deal that you see on the information signs along
right, like the Star FHP in Florida, things like that.
Yeah, right, for the Highway Patrol. And I called and was talking with a, I guess it was a police person or either a 911 operator. And they started asking me all these questions. And when I guess they could see vectoring from my cell phone where I was in relation to the rest area. And it was like, there's too much time gone by.
What did they tell you?
Well, they told me that they appreciated my call, that it would have been better had I called from the location there. And as I began continue to talk with them, they were saying that by the time that I had called, these people were already well away from that area, or so they felt. Just because of the road systems that are there, there's actually a small state or county road that runs off from the entrance getting back onto 85, and that can go around, I guess, further out into other areas.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, John, and I'm going to tell you, and you know this from working with you as a colleague, that I had a week ago, spent some time in Salt Lake City, where I had the opportunity, by the way, to meet with the Mad Ogre and have a fantastic dinner with George Hill. George will be on with us next week. But I was there for a purpose. I was there for a lawsuit to defend our company against a frivolous lawsuit in small claims court for $6,100. Now, we knew that this company was not thinking we were going to fly across the country to defend against a $6,100 lawsuit, which is why they filed the suit. The look on their eyes in that courtroom when I raised my hand and answered that I was there on behalf of the defendant, you saw her turn around, and her eyes got big. She looked like a deer caught in the headlights. And my point here is I went there prepared, fully prepared, and I proceeded to mop the floor up with them on their own home turf because they were unprepared. Now, I don't want to get too personal with you and tell you you were unprepared, but I can guarantee that the criminal was prepared.
Sure.
And in a violent encounter, the parallels are there. They're identical. And that's why they win and unprepared people lose. And we'll talk about that in detail when we come back, the aftermath of what happened and what I know John has done to defend himself against this happening to him again. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
We are back on the Armed American Radio Network. Welcome back to the broadcast. Little Rock, Arkansas, Troy, Alabama, Valdosta, Georgia, Florida, you're coming. California, you're coming. Moore, Washington, you're coming. So hang tight, folks. We'll get to you. In the meantime, you can help us out by calling your local conservative talk radio station, asking to speak to the program director. And they are great folks. Just simply, very politely, tell them that you're interested in Armed American Radio. You can direct them to armedamericanradio.org, or you can send them to SRN Radio for Salem. That's for Salem Radio Network, srnradio.com, and they can check it out there. Until we get to you, hang in there. And if you're watching football tonight and you're picking us up on the podcast tomorrow, shame on you. Peyton Manning and his brother don't stand anywhere near freedom. That's a football game. We fight for our freedoms every day. Anyway, I don't know what the score is. I promise Sean I'd find it for him. John, when we left, oh, phone numbers real quick. 877-956-9566. Mark at armedamericanradio.org. Twitter.com/AARMark if you're interested in participating on the program. We're getting a ton of email and a ton of Twitters, but they're a little bit off topic, and I don't want to break the stride here with John, so we're going to go back. John, welcome back to Armed American Radio. Appreciate you coming in and reliving a very harrowing experience in your lifetime. You left us with calling the cops and basically getting nowhere.
Correct.
After that happened, and the cops, because I know from speaking to you in the past, obviously, that they basically told you that they would mark that down as a statistic at that rest area.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. Okay, good. That's great. Can you imagine if you had your wife and kids in the car with you when that happened, and they were wondering what happened, right, and you were locked in a bathroom? Can you imagine that? Now, you know, fortunately, in that situation, you were by yourself. Now, you were unarmed. Let's talk now since the South Carolina Highway Patrol did such a great job in telling you that there was nothing they could do, and we don't expect them to. It happened.
Right.
They're not there.
Certainly.
And because they weren't there, they can't assist you. That's just the way the police work. So we are forced to fend for ourselves, which is why we've made a decision to carry a firearm for our own protection. Now, you got your Georgia permit. How long after that?
Not too long after that. I had to do some researching because, you know, I grew up in a family where that was gun-friendly. I was in the military myself, and my grandfather was a senior game warden in Volusia County. So, you know, we had hunting camps. So I was around guns, but I had become complacent. You know, I believed that, you know, nice security system at the house and, you know,
you believe the Brinks commercials.
Exactly. And all those wonderful things. And so I really didn't know if I could carry a firearm. And so I had to do some research, and thankfully I knew you and got in touch with you and began to realize that Georgia was a state where I could go and get a carry conceal permit, that I could be armed to not only defend myself, but, you know, God forbid if I had to do so for other folks as well. And I began that process, which didn't take that long in the state of Georgia, thankfully. We have a legislature, I guess, that has a little bit of good common sense.
Yeah, an argument could be made there, but that's fodder for another program.
Sure.
So you got your permit, and you didn't own a gun for a long time after that. And you and I talked many, many times in personal conversations, in and out of work. I guess we should let the listener know that we do work together. And, you know, we spoke about that quite a bit, and our schedules are hectic, running two different departments. You're in one state, I'm in another, and we're flying all over the country. And we were finally able to hook up a couple weeks back, and you finally picked up that coveted firearm.
Correct.
And let's tell everybody what you went for, because I know people are listening. What'd you get?
I got a Smith & Wesson M&P Compact.
The 9mm.
And it's great. It's sweet.
It is a great gun. It's a great choice.
It really is.
And I know you and I have been to the range a number of times, and
yes,
I know you're enjoying it.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, that 9mm Smith & Wesson, I had both. I had the Compact, and
right,
I still carry the 9mm full size. And it's a, you know, it's a formidable weapon. And we will not get into, I know what you're thinking out there. I know what you're thinking. The 9mm, the caliber debate. We're not going to get into that here on this program, because I'll tell you what, too many experts have said something's better than nothing, and there's nothing wrong with a 9mm, and the Smith & Wesson is a great gun. In fact, I was with you when you purchased the gun.
Yes.
And so you're carrying the gun now.
I certainly am.
You know, we get a lot of letters and a lot of comments from listeners and from readers. There's, you know, and I know you know this, but since the Obama election back in 2008, which seems like a lifetime away ago. Oh, my gosh. But guns have been flying off the shelves. They still are. There's a ton of new gun owners out there that are just like you. Now, I shouldn't really say that. Not everybody's been a victim of a violent armed robbery like you were. However, people out there are preparing. You know, for whatever reason, they're making their purchases. And they find themselves in the same position that you do, that you're in. And that is, you know, you're training with your gun. We've gone to the range. We've had some fun with it. So you've seen what it can do, and you know the power that you have when you have it on your hip. Now let's talk about, let's go back to that night. Now you have your 9mm Compact Smith & Wesson. They got the drop on you, didn't they?
Oh, certainly they did.
You turned around. They were prepared.
Yes.
They knew. And you know, as much as I hate to tell this to people, it bears repeating time after time after time after time. A criminal will always be prepared. Always. He picked his victim. You were random, but they knew exactly what you were going in there for. They had the timing down pat.
Yeah, I think now looking back, I think the gal on the phone was probably their lookout.
That would probably be a pretty good bet to put a month's salary on. And she was standing out there undoubtedly while the robbery was occurring. And God forbid somebody else had come up and walked in. She probably would have attempted to distract him, whatever the case
sure
may be. We'll never know. And but the bottom line here is that a criminal will always be prepared. They know what they're doing. This is what they do to make a living. And most people like you, like me, and like your neighbors and my neighbors and all of our friends don't want to go through life every day thinking that this can happen. However, it does. It happens every day. It's happening right now across this country as we're sitting here having this discussion to probably thousands of people in a country of 300 million plus people. Now, going back to that night, if you were armed, what opportunities do you feel now? What could have happened differently?
I don't think I would have been as afraid of being able to protect myself if it came to that. I'm not sure if I would have been able to have pulled my weapon to defend it myself, except perhaps when they bent down to pick up the cash that had been dropped on the floor. But I do know that going into the stall, I would have felt a lot more comfortable knowing that when I came out and opened that door, if they were still there, I could have defended myself.
Now, of course, I wasn't there, and nobody that we're talking to tonight was there. And we can never go back and second guess that moment in time. However, I can probably tell you with a fair amount of certainty that had you had your gun on you that night, you may not have ever found yourself in that position to begin with. Because your thought process probably would be a little bit different.
Oh, I'm much different now. I mean, with an incident like that occurring, I'm much more cautious about where I go, when I go, observant of my surroundings, not putting myself into a position to where my back is to a door like that. I look for possibly another way in and another way out now. So I feel much better prepared to this day to face such a situation should it occur again.
Well, hopefully it won't occur again. And because you've prepared yourself now, and, you know, who knows? We can't see the future. Nobody knows what's going to happen when we walk outside of this studio or we walk outside of this building on our way to our cars. However, we talk about it week after week after week, and we want to drive it home. We want to drive it home. We want to continue to drive it home. That preparation is the key. Criminals are prepared. Most people aren't. My mother scares me to death. My mom scares me to death. My dad, you know, God bless him.
You got
to
be prepared.
But you have to be prepared. And I watch, you know, people walk around, neighbors, friends, family, and they don't think in those terms. And nor did you. You know, everybody wants to see the good in everybody, including me. But we all know that there are predators out there who prey, and they are no different than animals. It's their animal instinct coming out. And if you're walking around with your head in the sand, if you're staring at your shoes, you got your keys in your hands, you're not paying attention to where you're going, you're coming out of that Walmart with a bunch of bags, and man, we are getting at that time of year right now. Black Friday, isn't that what they call it?
Yeah.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, the economy's in the toilet, all right? Socialism isn't working, all right? People are losing their jobs. And this is when we start to see these things come up. You have any parting thoughts?
Self-reliance.
Self-reliance, brother, that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on the first hour of Armed American Radio. We appreciate you being in the house with us. Your prescription for freedom has been filled in hour number one. We have a second hour coming up in just a few minutes. So make sure you don't touch the dial. Okay, it's all right. Go back, check out some football real quick, and come back and get your dose of freedom in just a few minutes. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Coming up in the second hour, Philip Van Cleve, the head of the Virginia Citizens Defense League, will be joining me. And man, do we have some fun stuff to talk about with Phil. We'll get a little bit political because of what happened a few Tuesdays ago and what it means for us as we head into 2010. So don't change the dial. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we'll see you in just a couple moments.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Like I'm again now, baby. Like a dog.